This is Andy from Palermo. You're listening to WBFY LP 100.9 FM, Belfast, Maine.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Belfast Lions Sports Show. This is the head football coach for your Belfast Lions. Just finished up basketball season as of last week. Winter sports are coming to a close here at Belfast Area High School. We're going to get some of our winter coaches on here to give us a review of how their season went. I know some there's definitely some really good seasons that went on at Belfast this year. To our listeners out there, as you know, we went with a more broad stroke show this year. Last year, I had my own personal show, which was the Coach's Corner. It was all about Belfast area high school football. This year, the station wanted to do a more broader stroke show and include all sports going on here in the Belfast community. So, you know, doing some legwork and just talking to people out in our community, I guess it was about a month and a half ago. I was in class. I was at Belfast High School. And a young lady who's a student at Belfast Area High School, Shelby Hooper is her name. I got to chatting with her a little bit and asked her if she did any sports at Belfast. And she said that she was into track, but she was also into the sport of horse riding. And that led to a conversation that led me to our guest tonight. I have the owner of Seahorse Stables here in Belfast, Maine, Amy Miller. And we have her head trainer with us as well. Her name's Megan Oathout. And they're going to take us into the world of the equestrian sport, which is the sport of horse riding at a variety of different levels, I guess you would call it. I'm very new to this. I've seen some shows on TV before. Last time I rode a horse was in North Yarmouth, Maine, back in 1982, probably. It's a little Shetland pony. I'm sure you ladies know all about horses. I was riding it bareback, and I got scared to death and jumped off about 20 feet down the field. So that's the last time I rode a horse. Anyway, we've got Amy. We've got Megan with us from Seahorse Stables. Megan and Amy, how are you? Welcome to the show.
We're good. Thank you so much for having us.
No doubt. I've got a number of things I want to get into. And like I said, you know, I'm very green when it comes to this sport. You know, the more digging I did, more people I talked to, there's a lot of cool sports going on in here at Belfast that you don't really think about. You know, we had some folks on here from the Belfast Curling Club. We had some folks on last week that talked about the growing sport of pickleball. Now we've got two ladies on here talking to us about the sport of horse riding. Amy, I'll start with you. You're the owner of Seahorse Stables. How long has Seahorse Stables been a thing here in Belfast?
I built the farm in 2014. So what is that? Almost 7 years.
7 years, okay. Cool. So that's a fairly new facility over there.
It is.
How did you come up with the name?
Well, actually, my husband came up with the name because as you come up Route 3, it's the first time you get to see the Penobscot Bay. And so he said, oh, look, seahorse would be a cute idea. You have the horses, you have the sea. We try to get the horses to look up and appreciate their view, but they don't really care. They're always looking at the grass. That's what makes them happy. So that's how we came up with the name Seahorse Farm.
Very cool. I kind of put one and two together, but I definitely wanted to look into that and find out 100% for sure. Now, you built it in 2014. When did it become a vision of yours and an idea to build the Seahorse Stables here in Belfast and bring horses to Belfast?
So I rode hunter jumper and competed a lot as a kid. I had some injuries and I took a break and started my family. And then when my daughter was 7 years old, she started taking lessons locally. And it just fired up the passion in me again. And I realized how much I missed it. I've had horses and boarded horses at various farms where my husband and I have lived. And so we were traveling farm-wide to do Hunter Jumper in the state of Maine. And I kept looking, and I decided that we need this here, not just the horseback riding, but the whole community and education that you receive in a barn. And so it just kind of started from a need and lots of folks giving me support. And my own horse, Jimmy, at the time, he needed a home. So I had to build him a home. It's all Jimmy's fault.
Now, has horses been a part of your life literally since you were a little girl?
Since I was 10 years old, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So would you say at some point in time when you were growing up, you know, you might think that this could be a reality one day? When did it first, you know, pop into your mind that I want to have a facility here and, with all the horses and everything that goes along with it?
Yeah, it's kind of funny how something small, and I joke about how Jimmy needed a home, but really that's where it started. I lived here. I was really interested. My daughter was really interested in getting back into this sport. I've owned a number of small businesses in the past, for the past 20 years. So that aspect of it didn't intimidate me. And it just kind of bloomed out of the idea of really missing it, not having a community. And there really is, you learn so much in a barn. So, and then as far as taking off and the designing of it, that just kind of developed. When you talk about, offering horseback riding lessons and making it a real facility, it gets complicated. How many number of horses do you have to have? How many acres do you have to have per horse? And so the size of it, it's kind of like the need feeds the size and the side feeds the need. So the size of the farm came with how much do I think or hope I can manage? And so we kind of settled on this size because of the acreage amount. I have 30 acres here. And the indoor riding ring has to be big because there's just limited time outside, in the state of Maine. So it kind of developed from, very small seed and grew into this.
No doubt. Now, I've heard you say Hunter Jumper a couple of times. Can you tell our listeners and me specifically what exactly that means?
Yeah. I'm going to pass that to Megan.
Sure.
So there's quite a few different disciplines with horseback riding, but in Hunter Jumper Barns, it's only English riding, so English tack. And the ultimate goal is for people to learn how to jump with their horses. We would attend horse shows specifically for Hunter Jumper, but with other Hunter Jumper barns. So it's a little different than, I think in the past there weren't very many Hunter Jumper barns in Maine, although it was very prevalent on the East Coast, below Maine. So it's really nice to see Maine be more involved in that.
No doubt. Now you're the head trainer there. Have you been there since day one when Seahorse Stables opened in 2014?
No, I have not. It will be 2 years this summer for me here, but I was not here at the beginning.
Okay, so you've been on board for a couple of years. How does one, earn the title head trainer? Is there certain, schooling that you have to go through? Is there certain experiences that you have to go to? How does one become a trainer of horses?
I think that there definitely has to be a certain level of experience and education in order to be able to do that. I grew up in southern New Hampshire, which is a really big area for Hunter Jumper barns. And I started taking lessons when I was 5, and I had my first pony at 8, did a lot of really extensively horse showed on the East Coast as a kid, And by the time I was, what we would say is our junior years, or like when you're in high school, I was training to become a trainer at some point. So that was definitely always the thought process there.
Now, when you're called a trainer, does that specifically mean you train the horse, or you actually train the horseback rider as well? Is it a dual job, or is it just kind of affiliated with the horse itself?
It is a dual job for sure. And I think, although I will do training rides where I can get on and help people reach goals with their horses, and I can work with really young horses to sort of help them learn what they need to, the ultimate goal is to teach people how to ride their own horses better.
No doubt. Now, I was on your website a little bit, poking around, trying to get some information. It says, not only are you the owner, Amy, but you're also a therapeutic riding instructor.
That's right.
Can you delve into that and tell our listeners and myself what that specifically means and entails?
Now, sure. So I attended something called PATH, which is a training for kind of like a worldwide training for therapeutic riding. And so my main goal is more of a mainstream approach, and we work towards Special Olympics. So we've been to 5 Special Olympics. And therapeutic riding is at a different, mainly I work I work with students who are autistic of any ages. My youngest student is 4, my oldest student is 68. And so we work on similar issues as Megan's program. It's just in a different way of reaching each student. We work on balance. We work on trusting the animal, steering, and having fun. Although my students typically, every student, you know, you're reaching them a different way. The progression is different for a therapeutic riding program, as far as what our goals are going to be, what each student needs each day. And I have a lot of fun working with the students and variety of, you know, their issues, their love of horses, and with their parents. So it's kind of a team effort there. But my expectations, or what I hope to do, is to create independent horsemen as much as can allow. So they get the horse, they brush the horse, they put all the tack on. And then sometimes some of the students need support, and I have some great volunteers who help support the student in the saddle. And we learn to walk and trot, and we go to Special Olympics, and they all do this in English tack. It's also held at Skowhegan every year. They didn't have it last year, but I think we're planning on having it this year. And so there's a variety of levels. They have horseback, they have driving, like in carts, and English tack, Western tack, they have barrel racing. It's a ton of fun. But my team goes up in English saddles.
No doubt. Sounds like it's pretty rewarding. I mean, you know, I never dreamed that, you know, what you're doing over there would be from the therapeutic side of things. Mm-hmm. You know,
there's a lot of different ways that people use horses for therapy. I'm pretty busy with running and owning the farm. And also I'm a amateur rider. So I keep my program small, around 10 to 11 people. And actually 8 of them have been with me since I opened up, which is great to have watched these, you know, these students progress and grow up.
Now, and when a student enters into a therapeutic session, if you will, right. How long do these sessions go on in terms of length of time? How many days a week are they there getting this treatment, if you will? How does that all work?
So it's an hour long. We spent 15 minutes grooming and tacking up, half hour in the saddle, And then on the other side, 15 minutes of untacking, brushing the horse, you know, giving him treats, just hanging out with him. We'll do some trail rides around in the summertime. But of course, this time of year, we're in the ring. They ride probably once a week. When it gets below 15 degrees, I usually call off some of the lessons. Although I have one student who'll ride, it could be 20 below and she wants to ride. But at about 15 degrees, I call it, because the horses just get a little, you know, they can be more unpredictable.
Right. Now, yeah. This time of year, you said you have a 30-acre facility there. How big is the indoor facility that you have there?
It is 220 by 80 feet. So 220 feet long, 80 feet wide.
And is that a controlled environment, or is that in terms of, you know, the temperature, is it what it is outside?
It'll hold steady as long as the, you know, it's really windy up here, and so the wind can sometimes bring the temperature down. I don't have any additional heat, so, you know, we're all riding in fleece pants and Megan's in coveralls and heated gloves on the ground. You know, when it gets below what, 20 degrees in there, which it can usually hover for a while. Once it dips down, it's hard to get it back up.
We've been lucky
this winter, really. I think Megan's only canceled probably 3 days of lessons. Everybody's been riding.
Mm-hmm. Now, it seems like it's a pretty big facility over there. And you're also, you know, a mother, you said, and have a family. Is that pretty much your two major things that you got going on in your life right now in terms of?
Yeah, we both are. I have two kids, 16. and Henry's 11.
And Megan. This is your job, running the two stables. And you as well, Megan?
I have kids also. So I have a son who's 20, a daughter who is 17, and a 12-year-old son.
And then in terms of being the head trainer, that's your occupation, correct?
That's it.
No doubt. Take me through a typical day, if there isn't such a thing as a typical day.
I usually get here at 7:30 in the morning. I look at how many phone calls I have to return or how many times I've been messaged. So I try to message people back, return calls, do all that good stuff. And then I will drag the ring to get it ready for the day. So we have a gaiter with a drag so we can drag the footing all smooth and nice, and get things set up in the ring. I have a pretty good plan in mind for the lessons for the day and what I need to have in there set up. And at some point early in the morning, I will get on and ride my own horse, who is also here. And then after that, I will teach for the rest of the day, usually until 6 or 6:30 at night.
No doubt. How about you, Amy? Take us through your typical day.
Yeah, my day is less organized. I'll get here after about Henry's a cast. And I'll get here around 9. And then I either teach first thing in the morning, a couple of lessons, then I'll try to ride my own horse. I feel like I run a lot of errands. Then I do a lot of maintenance on the farm. Then I do paperwork and answer emails, talk to hay dealers, help with stalls, move horses. I'm kind of the fill-in. If Megan needs a person to help tack up, you're walking through the aisle, you help tack up that horse. If, you know, somebody has a question, I'm running back and forth. If a piece of tack is broken, I fix it. So I feel like I kind of plan, but don't plan all of my days, because I'm usually, I start into something, like I'll turn the water on for it to fill up a bucket. And then somebody will be like, oh, Amy, come over here because, you know, the window fell out of Andre's door or whatever. And then I run across and I fix a stall or I fix a blanket or, you know, contact a vet. So it's fun. I can definitely go with the flow that way. And I just make sure all the horses and all the people are happy and comfortable.
Sounds like a very never a dull moment.
No.
Things can happen on any given notice, and sounds like each day it's kind of its own day in its own right.
It is. I mean, the horses are really different every day. Mm-hmm. And so it's fun to figure out who's going to ride which horse and what they're doing, how they're feeling. That's a big thing we all focus on this time of year. How are the horses feeling? Mm-hmm. As grass comes up, they you all get tummy aches. As the temperature changes, they get tummy aches or they get body aches. They pull horseshoes in the mud. And so we're all looking at the health and well-being of each horse and making sure that they're up to snuff for the work that they have to do. And some horses, they just need some time off, and then, you know, their friends have to fill in, and we try to respect what each horse needs every day and not push them too hard, especially this time of year.
Right. What would be some of the things that a horse would do to kind of, you know, make you say that, hey, you know, this horse isn't feeling well today, or mm-hmm. he looks tired, or is it pretty straightforward, or is there certain things you look for that will let you know what you need to know about these horses?
I mean, they all have very distinctive personalities, and when because we're around them so much, we know them, you know, the same way you'd know your family members. So you can tell if they're a little off, or you know, sometimes with the weather changing severely, they can get a mild colic, which is like a stomach ache. Or, and Amy and I are generally the two people who get called for all of those things because we know the horses pretty well. And so, you know, that, I mean, those kinds of mild things will happen, but because we know how they typically present, you can tell, you know, they may just need a day off or whatever.
So. We have some older horses that are in their 20s, and this kind of weather, you know, they have some arthritis, and so they'll look like they're achy. You know, their joints are achy. I certainly know how that feels. And what do? Do they work or do they rest? Do they do some work and some rest? And so, you know, we work with our barn manager and we say, what does this horse need? What's going to make it comfortable? Because the last thing you want to do is push it into something bigger and, you know, something more develops that's painful. And then we need to get the vet involved. And so we all try to stay on top of it. We have, Val lives here on the property. She does night check, and she actually checks every one of the 27 horses at night, feeds them, gives them water. And if one of them looks weird, she calls us immediately, says, you know, he's laying down. He's never laying down at 10 o'clock at night. What should we do?
Mm-hmm. Or someone didn't drink as much water as they usually do, or yeah. That kind of thing.
So. Yeah. So the whole team is really in tune with how the horses are doing. And the goal is that you know, we can do our sport, but we really can't do our sport if our horses aren't feeling good.
And they are really tremendous athletes. They, yeah. And they're treated that way. So we do have a chiropractor that comes out, they can get acupuncture, there's massage therapy.
Yeah.
They're treated well, like the athletes that they are. So.
Very, very interesting. I'm learning an awful lot. That's for darn sure. How many horses do y'all have there that you care for?
Well, we have, I said 27, we have 25 and two miniature horses. they're very funny. Pirate and Sylvia. So we technically have 27 horses.
27.
Pirate and Sylvia really just work for birthday parties and camp. Nobody rides
they're
them.
They're like the mascots.
Yeah, they're our mascots.
That sounds like a big job to me. 27 horses. I mean, obviously you're the two main players down at the Seahorse Stables. How many other staff do you have working there, helping you with all these roles and duties down there?
So we have a morning shift and an afternoon shift. And in the morning, it's one person. The afternoon is one person. But we've got so many volunteers who come in and help shuffle the horses around, help with stalls, you know, kind of pitch in and help each other. There's one hired person in the morning and the afternoon to feed them, turn them out, you know, do their stalls, give them hay. You know, they go outside pretty much every day, just weather dependent. And then we need to set up their fields, take them water and hay. I mean, they must eat way more than Megan and I do, 5-6 times a day. And in the middle of the night. but the girls who take care of these horses, they work really hard. They work in all weather and really do it for the love and the passion of the horse. I've got a really good group of people here.
Absolutely. Yeah. The few people that I've, you know, just mentioned that you guys were going to be on the show and where you were at. And some of the feedback that I got was, you know, some of the first things that were said was, have you ever been down there and seen their facility? They talked it up and just said it was absolutely amazing and first class. And I haven't, but I'd love to stop in one day and see what y'all are doing. And
we have a Shetland pony. We will not put you on her. We'll pick a different breed. You don't need to reenact your
first. You know, I was probably about 65 pounds back then. And when I was able to jump off that horse, you know, I could, you know, just roll and keep going. Those days are awesome. That is awesome. I keep hearing you say the word tack. And you said English tack earlier. What does that specifically mean?
So the tack is the saddle and the bridle that you put on the horse to ride. And so there is Western tack and then English tack. And then for English, I mean, we specifically use like a hunter jumper style of saddle. There's dressage saddles also. So there's a lot of different types of tack. So that's the other thing that goes into working with the horses, is understanding what kind of tack they need, what kind of bits they need, that kind of thing. We have a saddle fitter that comes out and helps. It needs to be comfortable for the horse as well as for the rider. So
the saddle's leather, the bridle's leather, and then sometimes a girth, which is what holds the saddle on. Sometimes it's leather, sometimes it's fleece. It just depends on what each horse, you know, responds to the best. So, and a lot of the horses have specific saddles to fit their body. Like we've got a lot of thoroughbreds here, and they can be bony in parts, called the withers, which is up high, which is what the saddle sits on. And in order for them to be most comfortable, we find saddles that fit those particular horses.
Very cool. We're coming up on 1:30. This is the Belfast Lions Sports Show here with the head football coach for your Belfast Lions. We're here with Amy and Megan from Seahorse Stables. We're learning all sorts of things about the sport of horses and horseback riding in general. We're going to take a quick station break and we'll be right back.
You're tuned in to WBFY Belfast Community Radio 100.9 FM on the dial or on the web at belfastcommunityradio.org.
Hey, what do you think? This is Belfast Community Radio, WBFY. We broadcast for you. Get in touch by calling 338-2277, visiting BelfastCommunityRadio.org, or connecting on Facebook. This is all volunteer run, so you can be part of it too.
Support for Belfast Community Radio comes from our listeners and from the Acupuncture Clinic of Rhonda Feynman, offering Japanese and Chinese acupuncture, Chinese herbal remedies, Qigong, and lifestyle, nutrition, and wellness education in the tradition of East Asian medicine. For more information, call 338-4454 or visit BelfastMainAcupuncture.com.
Hi, I'm Martha Lafage, and I have a radio show called The Broadway Radio Hour. It's on Thursday evenings, 5 to 6. It's just an hour of Broadway show tunes. Okay.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the Belfast Lions Sports Show. Coach Goff here with Amy and Megan from Seahorse Stables, learning all sorts of things about their facility here in Belfast, learning about the sport of horse riding and everything associated with the sport and horses, having a great conversation. Got a number of things I want to delve back into, so let's get right back to it. Amy, I was on your website, as I said earlier, looking around, seeing what was going on. I see you offer a number of camps there at Seahorse Stables.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, can you specifically get into that? Are these camps offered on a yearly basis? What type of different camps are they? What are people learning? All that good stuff.
So what we're offering, I mean, COVID is, you know, we've had to change a lot of stuff that we did because we used to have winter camps, all the breaks we had camps, you know, and it would just be a mixed bag of ages and we'd all bring food and just hang out at the barn all day, either take a lesson or do something fun, have some races. So now we've kind of had to limit our groups because the camps, you know, are just big groups. So we're just doing it in the summertime right now. And I do the groups between 6 to 9, which we call the littles group. Those are all that's a half day camp. And they work with a camp counselor. And then mainly the teenagers, because they're a lot more fun all day long. And they play horse games. They'll take a lesson from Megan. They do art. They run, you know, that group is just so sweet. And they'll run around and make salads for the horses. They collect the grass. They cut up some carrots, some apples. And they really just play horses all day long. And if it's hot, you know, we have a water slide that the girls will make out of a big tarp and a sprinkler. And boy, they love sliding up and down that. Scares the bejesus out of the horses, but you know, who are in the fields besides that, but the kids love it. We just call it desensitizing the horses. Mm-hmm. And then we have an older kid camp it's like a 9 to 14 year old camp. And those are a little more intense group lessons with Megan. Then there's the kids who come back every year. Some of our summer folk will come back and take lessons here and then do the camp. And then it's that both of them are geared more towards kind of beginner and intermediate level. But if we get some kids who are more advanced, they'll just come and be a part of the camp and just do a little bit more riding. But we teach barn maintenance. It's educational and it's fun and it's all day in the barn. Can't go wrong there.
No doubt.
Yeah. So we talked about doing an adult camp or a junior camp. Juniors are like the teenagers. What is an actual junior age?
Juniors usually, well, anyone under 18, although yeah. The junior classes start around 14 usually. Okay. So yeah.
And those are the more advanced and dedicated riders who are really doing, you know, horseback riding as their only sport. And so they have a different level of horse showing and education. And so we'll probably do, that's a little bit more intense. They learn different kinds of maintenance, braiding, kind of those are the group who's ready for horse shows. But the ones that are on the website, those are more for kids who are, really getting into the sport and are horse crazy.
Very, very cool. I saw there's obviously lessons there as well. Is that Megan's forte or is that?
Yeah, that's Megan.
Tell me about the lessons, Megan. How young are these kids coming in here to learn about horses and, you know, what are you teaching at these lessons and what levels of things are you teaching them as well?
Mm-hmm. I do beginners right up through advanced. So the more advanced riders will generally own or lease their own horses, and they're actively horse showing and have some pretty serious goals about what they'd like to accomplish. Beginners can come in when they've never ridden before and start from scratch. Any program should have all levels of riding so that you're always, you know, moving kids up from beginners to intermediate, and eventually they'll become your advanced riders. So that's the goal with the program. As far as age goes, I don't think we've ever taken anyone under the age of five.
Probably
for the
five.
For myself, because they do have to be able to, be secure enough to ride on their own.
And there's a lot of awareness that goes on in the saddle, and you're getting a lot of information. Mm-hmm. So from the horse, from the instructor, and so that processing can be really overwhelming to a younger kid. And Megan's lessons are really, you know, when she works with the younger kids, so Monday's a younger kid day. She's like four kids twice a day. Mm-hmm. And that's a big group of kids to kind of wrangle and keep them entertained and educate them and keep them safe. And so we really encourage them to do everything start to finish. So any younger than five, I think the kids get overwhelmed, for a whole hour of horse experience.
Yep. For sure. Now, how quickly is a five-year-old getting up on a horse? Are you literally on the horse, you know, with the child to make the child feel more comfortable? Or is it kind of like, let's throw him up there and get comfortable as fast as possible, and I'll be there to monitor things type of thing?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we do lead them around, so they will do lead line to start. So they're not actually in control of the horse, but they do need to learn to sit on their own, and most kids get comfortable with it pretty quickly. Kids are brave.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I never would have imagined that you'd start them that early, but I guess the earlier you start them, that's where that passion and love comes from. And, you know, that's what we preach with the sports at Belfast, you know, get them going early, get them going as early as possible. Let them, you know, have some success with it, if you will, kind of build their confidence. I'm sure it's the same thing with horse riding. It is with the sports that I coach and teach at Belfast.
It is really important, I think, to start early, but not everybody does. And, you know, if people are committed enough, they certainly can pick it up as an adult as well. My oldest student is 75. She's a woman that comes and rides in the summer. She's been riding her whole life, pretty accomplished rider. Comes to Maine from Texas every summer, and she's an awful lot of fun. And an example I use, because riding is truly a lifelong sport, and the reason is because we are always learning, always, always, always. There's never a point where you're like, oh yeah, I have it all figured out, so I'm all done. People will continue to ride with a trainer for their entire riding career. And so this woman at 75 is still learning and still embracing that, and it's great.
That is really cool. We're coming up on a year. COVID has been here. COVID has changed our lives and many ways in terms of the sports world. Mm-hmm. You know, we got sent home from school last year, March 13th, I believe the date was.
Yeah.
Spring sports were canceled. We were able to start working out with the athletes again in the middle of July. Everything was outdoors with all sorts of protocols. Real football got canceled this fall. We did some 7-on-7 before that got shut down. Mm-hmm. And then we got into winter sports, and there was all sorts of protocols attached to that as well. We just finished basketball, but, you know, there were so many different things than how it normally operates because of COVID. My question to you is, how did COVID affect what you ladies do down at Seahorse Stables? And how did it affect you when it first came last year in March? And how are things at your facility a year later?
We normally go to Florida for part of the winter. There are some really big horse shows in Florida. And so we'll bring some horses down there and people will come down to horse show. So we were in Florida last February and there was a lot of, I felt like at the time it was sort of like side talk about the virus, but nothing really significant. We came home at the end of February. Horses came home early in March, and that's when things started shutting down. I was actually in the ring teaching a lesson, got a phone call from my son, who was in his freshman year in college, telling me that he was being sent home. That was the first time I realized how significant things were. Mm-hmm. So we were very lucky. We closed for 2 weeks when there were higher cases in the Belfast area. When I think there were a bunch of cases at Tall Pines and we closed the barn down to all outside contact, reset the schedule to leave a lot of space in between people coming, set the mask mandate, mm-hmm. and some new like cleaning and sanitizing protocols, and reopened with that whole plan set up. So
yeah, it has, I'd say people, you know, we're lucky in the fact this is a sport where there's not a lot of contact. And so space is necessary for this sport. When we're on the ground, everybody, parents included, wears masks. We've limited the number of parents or observers that come in. Because we have one room where that's heated, everybody can watch. And there's just, it's just, I think, become second nature. You know, when it first started, I think it was a little like swimming in mud. Like, what are we supposed to do here? What are we going to do? Our biggest fear is, what are we going to do if one of us gets sick? Who's going to take care of these horses? They all have to be ridden, you know. Mm-hmm. That was a big job.
That was. When we closed for 2 weeks, that was a big job.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got in shape quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gave us a chance to regroup and figure out how we could do this properly. And I think we've been really good and lucky, and nobody's gotten sick. If it's in the schools or a parent has it, they call us immediately. Mm-hmm. And they say, hey, we're not going to be there for a couple weeks. And it's gone pretty well. We do something called IEA, which is a middle and high school riding team. And so that's a big group winter sport that we do. I think we had 15 kids on the team.
16.
This year. 16 kids.
Mm-hmm.
And partnered up with another barn, Eastridge Stables in Charleston, Rebecca.
Chernin.
Oh, Chernin.
mm-hmm.
Rebecca Chernin and Megan coach the team. And that's a travel. You know, we travel a lot to Massachusetts, New Hampshire, New York. We're in a specific zone. And so their rules changed a lot. We were still able to show, but no parents could watch.
And spectators.
As spectators. You couldn't watch your teammates. You know, that was a big wake-up call for us. It also set the tone for other horse shows. So we did do horse shows this summer, but a lot of the spectator laws are different. You're really not encouraged to linger and watch the other people riding, mm-hmm. which is hard for us because you like to learn from the other riders.
Yeah, they asked mostly for just the trainer and the rider to be at the gate. I think to be honest, some of the things they implemented made the horse shows run better. So I'm guessing some of that will continue on.
For sure.
They asked for all pre-entries. Things were a little better organized. So I think they will continue with that. The other big thing I think we saw was this summer, there were a lot of people who came to Maine in the spring from away and ended up staying because of COVID, and they apparently all wanted to take horseback riding lessons. So by July, we had a pretty significant waiting list, and we're working really hard to try to accommodate everyone. But it was a lot, and I heard that from other barns as well. So
yeah,
no doubt. Very, very interesting stuff for sure. I'm gonna ask you a few questions here about the horse shows themselves. Before I do that, I had another question written down in terms of the maintenance of these horses. You know, we lived on a farm when I was a little boy. That's where I rode that Shetland pony in North Maine way back when. We had a number of animals, and my parents used to hire someone to come over and, you know, maintenance our horse in terms of like the hoofs. I vividly remember them trimming the hoofs of the horse, cleaning the horse's hoofs, brushing, all that stuff. How often do you guys have to do that stuff?
Well, we're lucky. We do it every day. It would be quite a chore if it was just one person having to do it for all the horses. And however, we have boarders here, so that horses that aren't mine, that people board here. And occasionally, you know, they'll travel from pretty far away, or some folks are, you know, older and they stay home. And so we've done the maintenance on their horse. So seasonally, you know, like I said earlier, we're getting into mud season. Their feet can get a lot of bacteria in them. So hoof care is pretty important. It's pretty high on our list of things that we monitor and maintain. And so we really do it every day. We get a lot of help from our students because most of the horses are ridden every day. And if one isn't, or they're just kind of on a break, one of us will say, hey, you know, go pick Annie's feet. Go see how she's doing, because she's not feeling good. She's just been in her stall for a couple of days or out in her field. And they get brushed pretty much every day. This is a great season for wearing multi-color horsehair on your clothing, because they're all shedding right now. And so I look like I've been around a yellow lab, a black lab. I mean, there's just hair everywhere right now. The birds are getting real happy to make their nests. And that kind of has to be done every day too, especially in shedding season.
And when you were talking about the ponies' feet being trimmed, we have a farrier that comes out to put shoes on the horses. He's here every week. Mm-hmm. The horses are on a rotating schedule.
Yep.
The vet is out here every month.
And the dentist is out every 6 months.
Every 6 months.
Wow.
You know, I have a lot of students who would like to own their own horse. And obviously that's like the ultimate dream for anybody who rides. But often people don't know how much actually goes into the everyday care for the horses. Mm-hmm. So having one at home is not always feasible or the most attractive option, because there's just so much that goes into it. Here we have a great barn manager who helps to keep up with the schedule for all of those things for all of these different horses. So
So they get their teeth, they get their feet, the vet, they get vaccines. That's coming up, their spring shots in a week or two. So we monitor that. You know, a lot of horses we have are horses with arthritis. That's even the horses, that's not even from wear and tear. That's just age. You know, their gut and their stomach is a big topic of conversation. These horses go through about 4,500 bales of hay a year. That's what I feed out, plus grain.
Wow.
Plus, you know, whatever, you know.
Whatever extra.
If they have a tummy ache, they get hot alfalfa cubes. You know, it's like their own gourmet kitchen is our grain room. And each horse has, you know, we have mares and geldings here. So the mares get special treatment, and so do the geldings. And we really try to fine tune each horse's diet to keep their gut healthy. And, you know, it's fun. It can be a challenge to figure out what is going to make each horse feel good. A lot of horses are on probiotics, just like we are. If we have, you know, trying to keep our guts healthy, that's, you know, one way that we do it. So, you know, mane, tail, teeth, hocks, feet, back, you name
about
it.
About all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. This is quite a learning experience and an interesting topic of discussion as well. There's obviously a ton that goes into this. It doesn't surprise me at all that this is your only job in life. In terms of the intelligence level of a horse, I've heard a lot of my friends say over the years that some breeds of dogs are literally equivalent to the IQ of a 7-year-old child. How would you say horses are in terms of their intelligence level, and is it similar to like dogs?
They're extremely intelligent with very, very distinctive personalities. And it's fun for me. That's one of the first things people notice if they have not been around horses, once they start to be around them, is just how individual their personalities are. But they are extremely intelligent animals, able to have, you know, complex relationships with each other as well as with the people in their lives. They make choices. They are funny. They do, on purpose sometimes. They learn very quickly. Some horses learn more quickly than others. Some are more stubborn than others. Yeah. Some are more opinionated than others. They're very interesting to work with.
Mm-hmm. Would you say some horses don't get along with one another as well?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's one of those things I spend, you know, some time every week making a schedule, not just for myself, not just for my students, but for each of the horses. And some of them don't go together in groups where the kids can't steer very well because they don't love each other. And yeah, that's just how that goes. So they're very polite when they're being ridden, but, you know, they'll make faces at each other. Yeah.
Bare their teeth. They yeah, don't act on it, but it's just like,
you can tell. Yeah. They really are enjoying their time in the ring together. Yeah. So they don't all get turned out together. They go out in specific groups where the dynamic is good between them.
Yeah, we try to minimize stress so we don't put some horses next to other horses, and some horses just go out alone. Mm-hmm. They're happiest as loners, and we respect that, and so they go out alone.
And the mares all go out together.
Yeah.
Very similar to how people interact, quite frankly. Mm-hmm. You know, but what made me ask that question is I thought back to a friend of mine who had a couple of horses, and she said, I can't remember their names, but she said, yeah, this horse doesn't like that horse very much. Mm-hmm. I said, come on, really? They're horses. They really know that? And she's like, oh, yeah, this horse doesn't like that horse at all. Mm-hmm. And then lo and behold, a couple of minutes later, the horse that didn't like the other horse was kicking grass back up at the other horse. As a sign of you know, I don't know, it wasn't happy that it, you know, was near its food or water or something that triggered it. And I was like, wow, these horses are a lot smarter than I gave them credit for. That's for darn sure. And
I think that's one of my favorite things to do in the summertime is sit in the field and watch the horses. I love to watch what they do.
They play. They play.
The horse I was saying earlier, Jimmy, he literally likes to play stick. You gave him a stick in his mouth, he finds a horse that'll play tug of war. Mm-hmm. He loves to play with stick.
Yeah, they play and they have balls. Like big ball. You know, there are some balls that for horses to play with. They like that.
They're very entertaining.
They also, you know, occasionally rip each other's blankets or do things like that for fun, help each other get undressed out in the fields. Yeah.
That is very cool and interesting all at the same time. Coming up on top of the hour, I got to get into how the horse shows work, how much setup and coordination takes place, how many spectators normally come and watch a horse show at your facility, and specifically what is taking place at this horse show. Is it mostly jumping? Is it showcasing? How does that all work?
So we travel to other horse shows. We do have some horse shows here. We do host horse shows for IEA as well as during the regular season. The legwork to get going is a lot. So it's great that we have so many dedicated people to help out. And great that we have a nice enough facility to be able to host horse shows. We have great rings with great footing, nice jumps. So we do have to get a judge, advertise for the horse show. Set classes.
It's usually around, 27 to 35 classes. Mm-hmm. And each, it competes starting with lead line.
Right on through up to, usually we go up to like the 3 foot classes for the juniors and the adults. There are jumping classes as well as flat classes. So flat classes would be like walk trot or walk trot canter. Horse shows are typically have most of the same classes at them, and they run in divisions. So each division is like 2 jumping and 1 flat class. And it's height specific depending on where people are at sort of on their riding journey. So, you know, you can start with poles for little kids, cross rails, right on up through bigger jumps.
Some of the classes are judged more heavily on the horse's form, and some, which is called hunter, and mm-hmm. then some on the rider's form, which is equitation. So the classes are divided up also by that, what it is that you're pursuing.
And you can run what are medal classes, so classes where kids get points to qualify to go to bigger horse shows at the end of the season.
Very, very interesting. Now, when a horse performs a jump, is this performed by the rider giving the horse some type of command or performing some type of action when they're on the horse's back, or is it essentially the horse is trained to jump and it's buckle up your seatbelt, you're going for a ride type of thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's actually a pretty sort of complex process to learn to do it well. So when you're doing a jump course and there are 8 to 10 jumps typically, they like all of them to look the same. And I will just say that once you've done it, you understand that's a lot more difficult than it seems. But so there's a lot of things horses need to learn. However, they jump and they learn to jump on their own. Yeah. I mean, we teach them how to jump well and how to jump properly. But once that process is done, then the main thing the rider needs to do over the actual jump is to stay out of their way. And mm-hmm. that's part of what we teach them as well, is not interfering with that.
Going straight, having a nice pace, not looking down, not hitting it in the mouth to make it stop. We have some really amazing school ponies that are kind of more teaching the kids to jump. Mm-hmm. So you have Megan's instruction and the horse, and not every horse wants that job.
No.
So the ones that want that job, we really appreciate. And those, they kind of are guiding the kid to jump as they're learning the form. Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Ladies, we got 2 minutes. Real quick, how's the scoring work? Is it like 3 judges that I see on the show, American Idol, and they're given, opinions or a scoring system? How's that all work?
There's usually 1 judge. There is a scoring system, yes. At most horse shows, there are multiple rings running at the same time. So there's a different judge in the Hunter ring versus the Equitation ring. Jumpers are a whole nother process because that's just fault based, but for equitation and hunter rings, there is a scoring system. It is out of 100. They do score per jump, as well as the horses need to be doing things like flying lead changes in between in the corners. So yeah, it's kind of a complex process.
No doubt. We got 1 minute left, ladies. Thank you so much for coming on the show and letting our listeners and myself know about all the ins and outs that goes into the, sport of horseback riding. Seahorse Stables is the name of their facility here in Belfast. If you have any interest in a camp or a lesson or boarding your horse there, you can look them up online at seahorsestables.com. Is that right, Amy?
MaineSeahorseStables.com, Maine like the state, yeah.
Perfect. Ladies, I really appreciate it. We're coming up on top of the hour. I learned a lot tonight, and I really thank you for coming on the show, and you have a great night.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us.
Good night.
Good night.